Anyway, let's start. Chapter 25, Results of Disobedience. All right. Yeah, exactly. It's just like we look at Revelation 18. Some of the remnant is in the Catholic Church, in the Methodist Church, the Mennonite Church. They're in all the churches. So the Laodicean message goes towards them too. No matter what church you're in. That's why Revelation 18 was written, come out of her, my people. And say, come out of her, my saint. He said, people. That means a lot of them. They're all over the place. Or my child or whatever, you know. But anyway, whoever's going to read, I'll go first. First one is, what has man's redemption from sin cost? And, of course, the favored verse is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is that payment. Jesus Christ died for our sins. That's the cost. That's that that paid for the price, that price paid for thing that you always hear in the scriptures where Jesus paid the price for us. And everybody think, you know, especially in today's world of convenience, they all, you know, everybody looks upon it as, you know, I've heard Christians that are like this, that have this kind of a mindset, and it always amazes me. It says, you know, that's pretty arrogant, pretty conceited, pretty, boy, am I all that in a bag of chips kind of mentality. When they would walk up to me and say, yeah, I'm guaranteed heaven because what he did 2,000 years ago, I don't have to do much, he did it all. So who do you think you are? You think he took time out of his busy eternity just to so that you could have your run with things and do whatever you want? That's how some people think in today's world, you know? Like, I used to think that way more or less when I was younger. I used to think that all I got to do is believe, and I got heaven tapped. But according to my Bible, the devils believe and tremble. So believing ain't, you know, obedience has a lot to do with it, and that's more or less what we're talking about today. Whoever's going to go first or go next, go ahead.
Okay, I'll go ahead. How great was this love? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:7-8. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Jeremiah 31:3.
Amen. You're going to have to turn up your microphone or something. Well, you definitely have to turn up your mic. I had to crank up my speakers all the way. It's a good thing I got my volume control right next to me. Bonnie, you're still in private. Just you're doing what I did yesterday. Post it to the room. But yeah, that is, I like that one part in Romans 5 where it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, in other words, while we didn't even deserve it, Christ died for us. It's amazing.
Amen. For scarcely for a righteous man, for even a righteous man. So, amen. In return, what does God require for us? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. In Luke 10:27. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and all with all thy soul, and all with and with all thy might. Deuteronomy 6:5. And oh man, these New Testament Christians, they take that way out of context and say those are the commandments now, and we'll leave it at that, you know. But they don't read on because it says later or earlier, I think it says, upon these two greatest commandments hang the rest of the commandments and the prophets. That don't mean you just get rid of them or destroy them. It means that these two are a summation of the Ten Commandments. Amen?
I hope not. Let me try and turn up my mic a little bit, and hopefully that's a little louder and I'm heard a little better. Let's see. What is the love of God? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous.
1 John 5:3. Is that better, everyone?
No, you're still way low. The easiest way to do it is if jerked the page up. You know, I just noticed this particular chapter doesn't have numbers next to each verse. Did you notice that? We don't know what verse we're on. You lose track. But yeah, I know I'm on What is the Love of God. But that's, you know, with the scuttlebutt on the street telling people that, we're trying to get to heaven by our works and stuff like that because we're keeping the Ten Commandments. That, in other words, they totally ignore the fact that obedience is important. They don't seem to realize that 1 John 5:3 does say that when you keep them, it's not hard to keep them. It's not grievous. The Lord actually does help us. Anyway, I can, Lynn, I could show you how to turn up your microphone real quick if you'd like. Click the little microphone, the graphic down below where you got a microphone and a speaker down there. Just click that. Click the microphone. And then you see the slide bar. You should have the one that says microphone selected. Of course you do because it's working. Is the slide bar all the way up? Yes? Okay. Is there a button underneath the word select that says advanced? Okay. That's your problem. Okay, now, you see where it says options on the top left? Click it. Now do you see where it says advanced controls? Click that. Okay, now on the upper left, a little dialog box that popped open, it's called the recording control dialog box. That thing that has all the slide bars. That's what's a dialog box or whatever pops up as a dialog box on Windows. Now, on the top left side of the whole box, it says recording control, right? Now, underneath it, you see options and help. Those two little menu items. Click options. And then scroll down to where it says advanced controls and click that so that you'll have a check mark next to it. Now, when you see the microphone, it'll have an advanced button underneath it, right? Let me know when you did it. It's not lit up. I mean, it does say... you can click options, and it does say advanced controls, but it's just like grayed out. Can't click it. Oh, okay. Then you might have a generic sound card. But there's no advanced button underneath the microphone, huh? No, mine's checked, and it's not grayed out. Mine's checked, and it's not grayed out. All right, then it's just a generic sound card. No biggie. All right, who's going next? Was it Mark? No problem. Just swallow the mic when you talk. No, don't get too close, because every time you say the letter P or T or something like that, it's going to pop on the mic. Oh, you don't have a mic? Okay. Let's see. Upstairs is the family computer. There's no one sitting near it. They're just listening. Mixed Girl doesn't have a mic. That's weird, Randy, that yours is grayed out and mine's not. And we're both using XP. And then Josh. Okay, so is it my turn again? Yeah, but you might have a sound card that doesn't have the certain bells and whistles, Lynn. That's probably what's going on. Okay, all right, it's my turn. I'll go. All right, so does the Lord compel obedience? In Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. But whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And then Joshua 24:15 says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's a favorite verse of mine. In fact, I got it on a plaque. I got this plaque on a nice fancy rope, and the plaque is wood, but it looks like marble. And it just has that bottom part of that verse printed on it. It's really, really nice. But as for me and my house, we will love and serve the Lord. Well, actually, it just says we will serve the Lord. I remember, I think in the NIV years ago, it used to say we will love and serve the Lord. But either way, I like that verse a lot.
Yeah. Amen. Says it all. You go serve yours, I'll serve mine. Just Why does he ask obedience? Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Isaiah 48, verse 18. And Isaiah 1, verse 19 and 20. John chapter 15, verse 10. And I'll read another one. What did God forbid those to do who assisted in removing the sanctuary from place to place? What did he forbid those to do who assisted in removing the sanctuary from place to place? Or removing. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath, in the tabernacle of the congregation. Numbers 4, chapter 4, verse 15. Can you imagine that? If you touched anything holy, you would die right on the spot. Like going in the Holy of Holies in the temple. If you went in there and saw the glory of God, it would be too much. You would die right on the spot because it's too much. The Bible says, no man has seen the Father and lived. So I believe it.
Amen, Slay. I apologize for that. Let's see. When David designed to remove the Ark of the Covenant from Gibeah to Jerusalem, how did he propose to do it? Quote, and they set the Ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzziah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. 2 Samuel 6:3.
Yeah, I was just looking up the verse about the man that died, but I see here it's going to continue on and bring it into that situation that actually happened. Did we leave? Let's see. You left off on the one that says when you didn't read when David designed to remove the Ark of the Covenant from Gibeon. How did he propose it? No, I think you just read that one, right? You read that one. 6:3 or 6. You read 6:6? Also, 6:6 is mine. Okay. What was one of these men next emboldened to do? And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And of course, we all know what happened next. May as well continue on. It says, and how did the Lord regard this act? 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7 says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Now, I'm not going to judge the situation and say whether or not Uzzah went to hell or heaven, but it's a judgment call for our Heavenly Father, and I wouldn't think that would be a damnable sin, you know, just by looking at the merciful Father that we worship. But again, I can't judge that situation, whether he died or not. I don't know if Sister White touches on that. But the fact of the matter is that's how important it is to follow this Father's instructions, because there's always something that's, you know, a lot of the things that he has us do, especially in regards to the Ark of the Covenant and the whole sanctuary itself, had proleptic perspectives to it. They all spoke of Christ and the message of the salvation. And so certain stipulations had to be met to the letter. Otherwise, that would have put Christ in a different light, a lesser light, if you will, in the future. And so the Lord had to be kind of strict for that. I think Bonnie has to leave. I think she wanted to say something, but go ahead there, Randy.
Hey, Bonnie, God bless you, darling. See you later. Don't work too hard tonight. Let's see. Okay, what did Samuel say Saul had done in disobeying a plain command given him? And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 26. When the angels had put Lot and his family out of the doomed city of Sodom, what admonition did they give them? And it came to pass that when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not beyond thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Genesis chapter 19, verse 17.
Amen. Well, I just thought I'd read one for you before I have to run. Let's see. When Lot's wife looked back, what became of her? But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Genesis 19:26. In referring to this, what warning does our Savior give to all? Remember Lot's wife, Luke 17:32. Yeah, the Lord doesn't take time to disobedience.
Amen. And I mean, when you think about Lot's wife, I think that has a lot to do with us nowadays, when if we are holding on to whatever it is that would keep us from a closer walk with Christ. I mean, Lot's wife was lost because she couldn't give up all of the, quote, things that she had when, you know, she was there in Sodom and Gomorrah. But, okay, moving on, the next question is, when evidently citing these cases, what solemn question does the apostle ask? For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how should we escape? If we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, Hebrews 2, 2 and 3.
Amen. Amen and amen. Hey, I wonder, I never even did a study on this. Does Sister White say anything about why she turned to salt? Why salt was placed? I wonder. I'd like to dig that up and see if I can't find something on that when I get a chance. Now, I know that, you know, humans are made of mostly chemicals, you know, and it's natural chemicals, of course. It's not all that refined garbage that the AMA likes to mess with. Okay, thanks, Bonnie. Yeah, because I always wondered why it was salt. I remember years ago finding an article about a man that supposedly found Lot's wife's body stashed away in a cave, you know. And then when he found it, he was going to bring it into the city to show the people. And as he was on his way to the city, it started raining. And by the time he got to the city, she was gone, you know, dissolved from the water. But, yeah, well, if it's in a cave, because there's no moisture and salt, caves are like perfect for kind of stuff like that, especially if it's a salt cave, like a salt mine. There's no humidity whatsoever, and it'll be completely, you know, okay to go. But I don't know. Wait, let me just see. Wasn't that, Genesis, that was after the flood of Noah then. Yeah, that was after. Okay. Oh, go ahead there, Randy. I think it's your turn anyway.
No, I'm just going to comment. You know how the very fact that she was looking back seems to indicate that she wasn't ready to leave everything behind. I guess God, in that way somehow, just turned her into salt because of that, because she wasn't worthy of going on, I suppose.
Yeah. Amen, Lynn. She stayed where her heart was, too. Yeah. And she couldn't give up. It's kind of like, in retrospect, an actualization of Luke 9:62. Those who put their hands to the plow but keep looking back are not fit for the kingdom of God. And the reason they're looking back is because they know they're supposed to be going in one direction for the Lord, but they just can't give up what's behind, what they left. And so they look back. Plus, doesn't it say in the scriptures that if salt loses its savor, it is useless, it is thrown away? You know, could that be a symbolic statement of our Father when she was turned into, you know, savorless salt? Whether it was savorless or not, I don't know, but could that be the case? But That is something to really investigate and really dig into. Anyway, where are we at here? Okay, we finished with that one. We've only got three left here. This is a quick study. See you, Bonnie. God bless. Talk to you soon. All right. Hebrews. See you Tuesday for prophecy study. I'm thinking maybe we should start putting these on the radio, too, because right about this time every night, the radio starts getting hot and heavy. You know, a lot of people are listening at this time of the night, so maybe we could throw something live in there once in a while, you know? Even if it's only a half an hour, just boom, throw it in there live. That may get more people to get to the microphone, too. Yeah, let's do it. Remind me, and we'll do it live. I'll cut into the broadcast and do it. All right, let me do this one here. When evidently citing these cases, what solemn question does the apostle ask? Hebrews 2, verses 2 and 3 says, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape?" As I think somebody already read this one. Didn't somebody already read this one? Yeah. Why do I always do that? I always, yeah, Lynn read it, because I remember when she started reading the italic area. All right, I'll just read the last one, the last two. Oh, no, I'll read this one here, and then Randy, you can get the last one. Okay, what does he say in another place of those who persist in willful sins? Hebrews 10:26, and this is a very sobering verse. It says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." And that is one of the verses that I used to use a lot on the street with the Baptists, with their once always great, once saved, always saved, or the once under grace, always under grace. I says, how can you say that when this, or Hebrews chapter 8, or Hebrews chapter 4, I mean, I found like 38 verses before I gave up. I says, because I know the line upon line, precept upon precept, and the Baptists get into that too. And I says, you know, I've got line upon line, precept upon precept, upon all these things that I've been finding on the street, but when I got to this one, I found 38 verses before I just gave up. I says, I think this will be enough to convince the Baptists. But still, some of them are stone-headed, you know, they just don't want to hear it. But anyway, you want to finish it up there, Randy?
How does the Savior regard the worship of those who allow tradition to take the place of one of God's commandments? Ooh, this is a biggie, yeah. "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. Boy, that's evident all over the place, isn't it? In the Catholic Church and Protestant.
Amen to that. Because that's what they constantly do. They're constantly taking away the commandments of God, specifically the fourth one. They're all doing that one. And they're replacing it with the traditions of men, or commandments of men, doctrines of demons, actually, and commandments of men. But anyway, let's pray and finish it off, unless you guys want to have some discussion afterwards. But I don't know if Bonnie left already. I just figured we'd pray before she left, because her name is still here, but she may have left and just left her name here. I don't know. Oh, okay. She said she was going to leave it on for recording. All right. This confuses me, though, that this here, why all of a sudden there's no numbers? Remember, we used to do this all the time. Let me just go back to, let's go to home. And I think maybe it was, Brief Bible Readings of the Home is the one that's highlighted. Number 25 is the one we were in, Results of Discipline. Let's look at Consecration. Yeah, that one's not numbered either. And Conversion, let's go up. That one's not numbered either. So I think what's going on here is we were using the new version. That's right. Greg Law and them, they were using the new version, because I remember when you got down to a certain section, it was all grayed out. They weren't done putting it in yet. Let's see if I could find it. Acts of the Apostles, Passion and Happiness, it's the Desire of Ages, Great Controversy, Christ, Object, Lessons, National Son-in-Law. Oh, yeah, here it is, the 1914 edition. Let's find that one here. Now, yeah, because when you get to Section 8 on this page, check it out. When you get to Section 8, it's all grayed out. They're not done. And I'm a little concerned with that one, because 1914 edition, I don't know. I don't remember which one I got. Oh, Alex got an email about, oh, whose site is this? I really don't, it's I really don't know. It's called Preparing for Eternity. But the thing is, it's the book that we're going for. I really don't care about the site, but I got the exact same book here. This book here, actually, is the one that helped me do a lot of Bible studies years ago. In when I started coming into this, when I came into this faith. But I found, and I put this on my Trinity page, the original book that I, let me go to the Trinity page just to find out, to verify what I'm talking about here. Because I found an error in the, the Seventh-day Adventist, the General Conference changed this book, or better yet, just changed the section in the book where it was talking about the divinity of Christ and used Catholic teachings instead. And let me just see if I can find the pages for you. I have it. I actually put it, the doctored pages, before I burned the book and threw it out and got the other version that wasn't corrupted. Let me just get my website here on the server rather than on the hard drive. Okay, the Trinity page, Bible Truths, Trinity question mark. Let me scroll. Okay, here we go. It's now Harvest Time Books. Okay, they're both from Harvest Time Books. It says, okay, brief Bible readings for the home has been altered. This is from my website. It says, below is an actual scanned page of 107 and 108. Let me go to 107, because I know 107 and 108 don't have this in this book. The other one did. Page 107 and 108. Okay, not in there. A Sinless Life. Yeah. All right. Okay, this is the unaltered version. Below is an actual scanned pages of 107 and 108 of the unaltered version of Bible readings for the home. Below's excerpt came from Harvest Time Books, Altamont, Tennessee, 37301 zip code. It shares awesome truth concerning the sinless life of Christ. It also shares concrete biblical evidence as to the humanity of Christ as well. It also confirms the book Bible Readings from the Home has been altered by Roman infiltrators within the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And where do I go? Okay, that's my Roman SDA flash animations that I'm linking that to. Make these pages, match these pages with your copy. Is yours altered? And let me put the pages in the room here. Okay, this is page number one. And if you got a copy of this book, hey, Carol and Beth, how you doing? How's my sisters in Christ doing? Let's see here. Okay, now if you got the book, well, I don't know, does anybody even have the book? There's the unaltered version of the book I have. And then I guess number two would be number two. Yep, this just has a number two after it. Let me see. I emailed the SDA minister that used to visit us and who baptized me and my husband. I told him to check out your site, Nick, especially SDA and Apostasy. That was a couple of nights ago, but he hasn't emailed me back since he was running his research as the president's office. No. Okay. Can't you hear me, Carol or Beth? Oh, what's the title of this book? Brief Bible Readings of the Home. Well, the one I got just says now Bible Readings for the Home. And it's a thick, it's like a paperback size book, but 654 pages. It is good. And it's all scripture, except for a couple of historic documents. I don't think there's any Ellen White in here at all. There's none. And I'm not saying it's a good thing either, But they kept it strictly scripture. That's all I've ever really been into. I never really got into Ellen White until like 4 or 5 years, maybe 6 years. I don't even know how long I'll get into her, but I do like her writings. Don't get me wrong there, please. Okay, now this is the page two that has been altered in the other books. So what, if I could find page 107, A Sinless Life. Okay, that's chapter 39 here. Okay, it looks like this is a good version here. There's a note. John 3:37. Okay, this looks like this is a safe version. I don't know yet. Okay, one of them's selfish. And they added some strange little poem after it. I'm looking at this page. This here is, now if you scroll down, that's pages 106 and 107 and 108, I guess, because I don't know if they actually have that little poem at the bottom of page 107. Here, let me just check real quick, because I got the actual book, page 108. No, it's not there. No, it's not there. The page just came out. What's up with that, man? I hate that when that happens. Okay, that poem's not in here. Welcome back, Carol and Beth. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Is this thing on? Can you hear me now? Hello? Carol and Beth? Well, Lynn, that wasn't a laughing out loud. That was just a giggle, you know, with the O missing. It's just a giggle, Lynn. The LOL. I don't know if that really made any sense, though, what I just said. But anywho, is that I don't see. Let me see. I can't see how this would be any different. Okay, let me just start from the top. What testimony is born concerning Christ's life on earth? Second, okay, 1 Peter. Okay, what is true of all the members of the human family? Yeah, okay. What question did Christ challenge his enemies? 8:46. To what extent was Christ tempted? Okay. Number 5. How fully? Oh, they're numbering them. Yeah, they're numbering the new ones here. How fully did Christ share our common humanity? Okay, they got it there. That's verse 17. Then they go into the note, and the note reads: in humanity, Christ partook of our sinful, fallen nature. If not, then he was not made like unto his brethren, was not in all points tempted like we are, did not overcome as we have to overcome, and is not therefore the complete and perfect Savior man needs and must have to be saved. The idea that Christ was born of an immaculate or sinless mother, inherited no tendencies to sin, and for this reason did not sin, removes him from the realm of a fallen world, and from the very place where help is needed. Amen. And that's the reason for that original sin that the Catholic Church invented. It puts Jesus Christ in a different light, and it makes it look like he either cheated or he's not really the Messiah, because his flesh is not the same as our flesh. You know, when they say he didn't have original sin, but we do, means he either cheated or he's not the same. He's not the one that we were looking for. So going on, it says on his human side, Christ inherited just what every child of Adam inherits, a sinful nature. On the divine side, from his very conception, he was begotten and born of the Spirit, and all this was done to place mankind on vantage ground. It's to demonstrate that in the same way everyone who is born of the Spirit may gain like victories over sin in his own sinful flesh. Thus, each one is to overcome as Christ overcame, Revelation 3:21. Without this birth, there can be no victory over temptation and no salvation from sin, John 3:37. So, yeah, it looks like it's word for word. A note appears word for, and then he goes on with where to get. It's okay. And there's another note. And what unselfish, by whose power, and what unselfish purpose. Okay, so yeah, this copy here is the good one, the one that's numbered, the newer one. Now let's go to the other one and see if we could find a sinless life and see if they change that one, just for the sake of doing it, the one that we were reading from. A sinless life is on here for chapter 34, and there. Okay, there you go, folks. This is the one that has the note missing, and this has got to what extent was Christ? It looks like it's all the same thing except for the notes are missing. Let me just look. Oh, told you, mixed girl. Abby's are big. Okay, thanks. That would be great if you could mail them to me. Would you get melted out of the snow? Poor girl. You poor girl. All right, let's see. What testimony is born concerning Christ's life? Okay, 1 Peter. What is true of all members of the human family? All right, that one's same. With what question is his enemies? Conviction. Okay, John 8:46. To what extent was he tempted? Okay, Hebrews 4. In his humanity, what nature did Christ partake? Hebrews 2:14. Okay, how fully did Christ share our common humanity? Okay, that's the same. They took out the note. Where did God in Christ condemn sin? Okay. It's Romans 8:3. Yep. And there they took out that note too. And by whose power did Christ live the perfect life? John 14:10. And then 6:38 for the last one. Yeah. Okay, so both their versions of their books on this website are safe. They're the good ones. I can't remember where I got the other. Maybe I got it on my website where I got it. Brief Bible readings of the homes have been altered. Okay. Just plain Bible readings for the home is the good one, I guess. Link? Oh, the link, it should be in the room, ain't it? Oh, thanks, Josh. Josh gave it to you. But is this 7 o'clock thing too late, too early? You know, because we moved it to 7 o'clock on Tuesdays and Sundays and Tuesdays for Clive and Kim, but they never seem to come. So should we move it back to 8 o'clock? Well, no, then Bonnie couldn't come. That's right. Then Bonnie can't come. So let's leave it at 7. Okay. No problem, Bonnie. Okay. God bless you, sister. I guess she's leaving now. She's getting, because it's, she goes to work at 9, I think, or she leaves her house at 9. If we started here at 8 o'clock Central, that's 9 o'clock her time, my time too, and it'll be too late for her. So I guess she leaves at 9, 9:30, or she gets ready at 9 and then she's out of the house by 9:30. I don't know. I don't know what her hours are. But she is typing something, or she was. And now she's not. She must have PM'd somebody. Okay. Anyway, does anybody have any questions or comments or would like to discuss? Oh, wow, we got 13. So who came in here? Somebody popped in. I didn't see a minute ago. Oh, you leave here at 9:30 Eastern. Okay. But well, then that gives us plenty of time. If we get here at 7 o'clock Central, which is 8 o'clock my time and her time, and we get right to it, well, even if we start at 7:30 Central, we never really go over more, you know, half hour, 45 minutes. Okay, Randy, God bless, brother. I'm going to turn off the recorder since we're just gabbing. But I'd like to do this on the radio.